Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 61 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Courtney Howe.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
We went on extinguish it from the outside, then had to go inside and overhaul and put out more fire.
A home in Moorhead was totally destroyed by fire.
A Stage 1 drought warning has been put into effect for the state of Kentucky.
Kentucky Farm Bureau President says it's time for the state to control the growing population of black bears.
In sports, college basketball tips off tonight.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Mostly clear skies tonight with lows in the mid-30s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
First this afternoon, investigators are looking into a Thursday fire in Moorhead. The blaze began about 3:30 p.m. at a home at 1103 North Tolliver Avenue when an oxygen-generating machine started smoking. As crews from the Moorhead Fire Department tried to extinguish the fire, a pair of oxygen tanks in a back room of the house exploded, causing that area of the structure to partially collapse. Chief Jeff Anderson says the house was completely ruined.
Yeah, the explosion took out some wall in the back corner and bedroom there. That caused significant damage from the explosion. So that would be a total loss due to the type of house it was anyway.
Anderson says three residents who were inside the home at the time of the fire generally escaped injury. One of them did have some minor burns. Outside of some bumps and bruises, none of the firefighters were hurt.
The new Padula Residence Hall was dedicated this afternoon at Moorhead State University's Derrickson Agricultural Complex. The facility was named after Mike Padula, who was the maintenance supervisor at the farm for 25 years. He passed away in 2012. Padula's mother, Marlene, was on hand for today's celebration.
It means so much because Michael worked really hard and he enjoyed every day. And he did enjoy the students very much, and this would mean more to him than anything in the world. And when I walked up the stairs and looked at the view, I could see him having a cup of coffee and looking out and just loving every minute of it.
The new Padula Hall is one of two dormitories at the MSU farm. The other is Lundergan Hall.
Law enforcement officials are hoping the possibility of a reward will help them find a missing Fleming County man. Wes Maddox was last seen October 12th in Flemingsburg. After a month of searching, investigators are now offering a reward for any information regarding his whereabouts. Randy Sargent is chief of police for the Flemingsburg Police Department. He says any tips his department receives regarding Wes Maddox will be investigated.
Hoping that might shake somebody loose. Like I said, if it's an accident, somebody knows something. There's always going to be rumor, and we'll check that out too.
Wes Maddox is 41 years old, 5 feet 9 inches tall, 180 pounds, with brown eyes and blonde hair. Anyone with information regarding Maddox's location is asked to call the Fleming County Sheriff's Department at 606-845-4701 or the Kentucky State Police at 606-784-4127.
Kentucky State Police are investigating after a Floyd County school bus collided with another vehicle in front of the Stanville Vendors Mall Thursday evening. According to Floyd County School Superintendent Dr. Henry Webb, the student who was driving the vehicle and the bus driver suffered only minor injuries in the mishap. No students on the bus were hurt.
The very first thing we do when there's any accident is we check on all of our individuals, whether it's adults or students, who may have been somewhat injured, and this morning all the reports are that everybody's okay. So that was our very first step. And then from there, we just, you know, let the normal process work as far as, you know, accident reports and those kinds of things.
No further details are available at this time. The district is still waiting for the KSP's report on the incident.
The unusually dry weather Kentucky has been experiencing has resulted in a drought across the state. John Murrah of the Kentucky Energy and Environment Cabinet says that all but three counties across Kentucky are in Stage 1 drought alert, with the worst of it being in the southern part of the state. He says that Stage 1 is a warning to citizens.
Well, that's a drought warning. We're putting citizens, businesses, water companies on alert that we have received an unusual lack of rain, so that we're asking people to voluntarily conserve water and water companies to look at their plans so that if the drought increases and they need to look at other sources of water, they're able to do that.
The drought, Mora says, is a contributing factor in the fires that have ravaged the southeastern and south central counties. He says that we aren't expected to get much rain in the coming weeks, so the chance of improvement is slim.
The lead weather forecaster at the National Weather Service station in Jackson says eastern Kentucky's bout with dry weather isn't likely to end anytime soon. Chuck Grief expects the severe drought conditions that have resulted in multiple forest fires will continue for at least 6 to 10 more days. He says there is a chance of some rain next week, but that chance is only a small one.
We do have a cold front that's going to try to move in here in the middle of next week, Tuesday or Wednesday, and that has the potential to bring some rain with it, but it looks like it could pass through pretty quick and not give us enough to make much of a dent in our current drought situation. We really need a more winter-like pattern to set in, and right now we're not seeing much indication that the weather pattern's ready to change more toward that kind of regime.
Grief says a weather system is preventing precipitation from the Gulf of Mexico from entering the region normally. He says this is unusual, but does tend to happen once or twice a decade.
One of the longest-serving elected city officials in Kentucky was voted out of office this week. Ashland City Commissioner Kevin Gunderson came up short in his bid for a 14th term by 40 votes. He finished fifth in a field of 7 candidates vying for 4 seats on the panel. When he completes his current term at the end of December, he will have been a commissioner for 26 years. Losing is a first for Gunderson, and he admits that it hurts, but he says it wasn't a good year to be an incumbent.
It's an anti-incumbent mood, and we saw that throughout the country, sweeping from the Atlantic Ocean out to about the edge of Colorado. We saw incumbents being thrown out everywhere, certainly in Kentucky. Kentucky now is a deep red conservative Republican state, and I'm not part of that.
Gunderson was initially elected in the city commission in 1990. He's a former Ashland police officer who was wounded in the line of duty in 1980. The longest-serving elected official in the United States is also an Eastern Kentuckian. The appropriately named Charles Long has been mayor of Boonville since 1959. He's 94 years old.
The Little Fleming County city of Ewing finally has a new mayor. The position had been vacant since last year's resignation of Pamela McFarland. Robert Bevins took over the role on Tuesday after being elected by a vote of 48-10 in his battle with fellow write-in candidate David Ratliff. According to Fleming, Judge Executive Larry Foxworthy, had Ewing continued to go without a mayor, it could have impacted its interlocal agreement with the county, which has been maintaining the city's streets and roads.
We've always taken care of them for them, and the agreement was that the municipal road aid money would be turned over to the county, and in turn we would take care of the maintenance and the upkeep of the streets out there.
There was a disagreement between Ewing and the county earlier this year regarding some municipal road aid money the county felt it still owed by the city. That matter, however, was resolved quickly.
Kentucky Agriculture Commissioner Ryan Quarles is seeking suggestions from state lawmakers on farm policies they'd like to see President-elect Donald Trump pursue once he is sworn into office. Quarles is a Republican who worked on the Trump team in Kentucky.
I've been serving on an advisory committee to the Trump presidential campaign, and we are working on helping identify leaders who can step up to the plate to do what's best for agriculture for the United States and for Kentucky.
Quarles made his appeal Wednesday to House and Senate members of the Kentucky General Assembly's Agriculture Committee.
An Eastern Kentucky legislator says Kentucky's Republican-controlled House and Senate are putting together their legislative agenda for 2017. GOP State Representative Jill York says reforming the Commonwealth's antiquated tax code will be at the top of the list, while right-to-life and right-to-work measures could also be considered.
I believe that both of those will be somewhere within the radar. Within this last election cycle, pro-life issues were featured very predominantly. It was something I heard on the campaign trail. It was something that folks were very, very interested in. I believe it was also a big factor within the national races. And so that's uppermost in it seems like our citizens' minds right now.
As far as tax reform goes, York says she's not sure yet what form that effort will eventually take. Governor Matt Bevin has suggested that getting rid of Kentucky's income tax could be a part of it.
A dramatic decline in prices has Kentucky grain farmers reeling. That's according to Jerry Pierce of the University of Kentucky's Department of Agriculture. Pierce is the coordinator for the Kentucky Farm Business Management Program.
In 2013, the average grain farmer that we worked with had a net farm income of $544,000. So the average grain farmer was netting over $500,000 in net farm income. It dropped tremendously down to $173,000. That is a 68% drop in 1 year based on the decline in prices.
Pierce says average annual incomes for Kentucky grain farmers continued to plummet in 2015 to $128,000. He says they're expected to be around $100,000 this year.
The Kentucky Cattlemen's Association says a drop in beef prices over the past year will take about $500 million out of the state's rural economy. Dave Maples is executive vice president of the organization.
On June the 17th of 2015, I sold 10 steers. Those 10 steers weighed 644 pounds. Last year, they brought me $1,592.62. So my check was nearly $16,000. This year, on June the 15th, I sold 10 steers, and those 10 steers brought $995, or just under $10,000.
Maples says that's a 37% decline in income. About 800,000 calves are sold annually in Kentucky, he explains, so the loss in sales will be about $477 million.
The Moorhead Community Soup Kitchen is sending out the casting call for more volunteers. As of late, the organization has had trouble getting enough people to help out. Serving meals 7 days a week, Director Lula Pico says they just don't have enough volunteers to handle that load, even though they do have a core of regulars willing to help out.
The people that we have that volunteer either don't work or are retired or come on their days off, so they're not able to come every day for some reason or the other. Things come up in everybody's life. I mean, that just affects it every day. And with us feeding more people on Thanksgiving, that causes us to need more people to work.
Those wishing to volunteer can call 606-784-9533. The Moorhead Community Soup Kitchen will likely need extra help on November 23rd. That's when it will be serving hundreds of people at its annual Thanksgiving meal.
The Ashland Police Department will be involved in a local food drive. MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
According to the Daily Independent, the APD will be accepting canned foods as currency to pay for parking tickets starting next Friday. One can equals $1 of credit, and all donations will go to River City's Harvest, a local organization that supplies food to those in need. Ashland Police have provided donations to River City's in the past through various other kinds of food drives. However, this is the first time they've used parking tickets for that purpose. Brittany Hoback, director of River City's, says with the holidays approaching, the organization is looking for extra help. Reporting from Warren State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blingenbuehler.
Work continues this weekend on Kentucky Highway 989 in Lewis County. The Maysville Ledger Independent reports the paving operations began yesterday and are expected to continue until Monday. Alan Blair, a spokesman for the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, says the effort may cause minor traffic delays of about 15 to 20 minutes from mile points 6.15 to 12.69. Blair recommends motorists in the area use Kentucky 1237, 57, or the AA highway instead.
Taking a look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, there is a freeze watch in effect from Saturday evening through Sunday morning. Tonight, you can expect mostly clear skies with lows in the mid-30s. Your Saturday will be sunny with highs in the lower 50s. Saturday night will be cold and clear widespread frost throughout the night. Patchy valley fog late. Lows will be in the lower 20s in the valleys and in the lower 30s on the ridges. Your Sunday will be sunny with widespread frost in the morning and highs in the upper 50s. Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it's 60 degrees in Ashland and Winchester. It's 58 degrees in Flemingsburg, 59 degrees in Inez, 61 degrees in Lexington, and it is 60 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
The time is 4:45. On our feature segment this afternoon, we have commentary from Morehead State University professor John Modath. He says facts are called into question all the time, so why not fact-check some old-age wisdom, too?
Due to a contentious election where everyone has been accused of bias, the sport, laughably called fact-checking, has become as popular as lawn darts once were. So let's do some. Old sayings get trotted out quite a lot, particularly in times of strife, but when was the last time anyone did a fact-check on those? Let's pick over some old saws and see what gives. A penny saved is a penny earned. Actually, even when inflation is low and interest rates are near zero, this one doesn't follow. A penny saved in 2010, taken as a benchmark, for example, compared to that same penny's spending capacity now, shows a significant decline. Better to say, a penny saved is one less annoying coin in your pocket. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Talk to the hand about that after you wash up. A bird in the hand is worth an average of two trips per hour to the bathroom. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. No, it doesn't. That's why it's the squeaky wheel. Wheels that get the grease may have other problems, but squeaking isn't one of them. It is what it is. Not really. For example, a photo of you will always be of when you were younger. By the time you've said, it is, it isn't. One bad apple ruins the whole bunch. This is a load. Get hungry enough, and the unspoiled part of a bad apple will start looking pretty good. Just chop off that worm cave and get to noshing. An inch is as good as a mile. No, but 63,360 inches are as good as a mile. Let's test it by changing to the metric system. A centimeter is as good as a kilometer. Nonsense. Love your neighbor as yourself. This one only works if you love yourself. If you hate yourself, this is a recipe for some bad times. Every journey begins with a single step. Actually, a lot of journeys begin with a single click. All people are created equal. Well, in principle, but not in fact. I will never be 7 feet tall, nor an astronaut, through no fault of my own. We will never be equal to anyone. We are unequaled, unmatched, as unique as our own fingertips. Equality. How can it be among individuals? Under the law, perhaps, but under the watchful gaze of, well, it is what it is. I'm John Modath.
Dr. John Modath is a professor of speech at Morehead State University. The time is 4:48. You're listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Courtney Howell here alongside Ellen Barnett, and we're glad you're with us on this Friday evening. Stay tuned at 5 for an all-new All Things Considered. MSPR's Nathan Gutierrez has sports. He's up after this.
Support for MSPR provided by Downtown Morehead Incorporated and Morehead's annual Hometown Holiday Weekend, December 1st through 3rd. The Morehead Round County Christmas Dinner is Thursday, December 1st at the Carl Perkins Community Center. Events continue on Saturday, December 3rd with the Appalachian Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair at Morehead State University. Hometown Holiday on Main Street and the Cave Run Symphony Orchestra Concert at the Morehead Conference Center. More events and information on Facebook under Downtown Morehead.
The Eagles tip off their new campaign. Good afternoon, reporting from Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Nathan Gutierrez with your sports report. To start things off, the Morehead State men's basketball team hosts Kentucky Christian in its season opener tonight at 7:45. While he believes the Eagles will be very good this season, Coach Sean Wood says a couple of key things will need to happen to make that prediction come true.
You know, the older guys have got to be major factors and got to believe that. And these new guys have really got to step in and be prepared to play. Because, you know, if foul trouble sets in, an injury here or there, they got to be ready to roll and we can't miss a beat.
The Eagles won 23 games last season, ending their season with a loss in the finals of the CBI. The Morehead State women's basketball team starts the Donna Murphy Classic at 5:30 this evening at Johnson Arena with contests against Georgia State. The Eagles outran the Panthers last season in Atlanta 99-90, but MSU coach Greg Todd doesn't expect that kind of high-scoring affair in this evening's rematch.
We're playing a little bit slower in terms of playing longer possessions defensively, and we're playing fast on offense, but not quite the level of speed we played last year. But I still think it'll be a game. I would be surprised if both teams were not up in the 70s.
The MSU women will be looking to improve on last year's 10-20 record in 2016-17. The University of Kentucky gets its basketball season underway tonight as well when Stephen F. Austin visits Rupp Arena at 7. Head coach John Calipari says he's ready to get the new season started.
It's starting against a really good opponent. Tape I've watched, they're well coached. They play, you know, they're going to guard you. They stretch out the court. They deny wings. They make entry passes tough. They like to go high-low. They like to go at their big guys, try to get our big guys in foul trouble.
Other notable games for college basketball's opening night, Louisville hosts Evansville, North Carolina is at Tulane, Duke entertains Marist, Arizona and Michigan State face off in Hawaii, followed by Indiana and Kansas. Some area teams will be involved in Sweet 16 action of the Kentucky High School Football Playoffs tonight. 8-3 Fleming County visits top-ranked Belfry in a Class 3A matchup. Coach Bill Spencer knows Philip Haywood's Pirates will come at his team with its strong power rushing game.
Coach Haywood's one of those old-school coaches that if he can run three plays and beat you, he's going to run those three plays over and over and over and over. So we got to kind of make them get out of their comfort zone a little bit and do some things that they may not ordinarily do.
In some other area games, Raceland travels to Nicholas, Fairview visits Paintsville, Greenup is at Johnson Arena, and Ashland Blazer has a 4A game at Bourbon County. The Moorhead State Football Eagles play their final home game of the fall tomorrow. PFL rival Campbell will provide the opposition at 1 p.m. As his team looks to notch a second straight win, MSU coach Rob Tenyer says beating the Camels won't be easy.
We want to have a November to remember. We want to have momentum going into our offseason and going into recruiting. They're running the football well. That's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to do versus us. We're going to have to defend that, and we're going to have to play well.
While the Eagles are 3-6, Campbell is 4-4. Moorhead beat the Camels 31-27 last season in Buies Creek, North Carolina. Kentucky and Louisville also play tomorrow. Still hoping to become bowl eligible, the 5-4 Wildcats visit arch-rival Tennessee. UK coach Mark Stoops is confident his players will perform well against the Vols and won't display any ill effects from last week's tough loss to Georgia.
Team will be fine. We'll be ready to go. They'll be back to work, I'm sure. They've been resilient, and they'll bounce back. There's no doubt in my mind.
As for number 5 Louisville, the Cardinals are at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium tomorrow night at 7 to entertain Wake Forest. The Moorhead State volleyball team will end their regular season with a pair of OVC matches this weekend in Nashville against Tennessee State and Belmont. Coach Jamie Gordon wants his girls to use the outings to prepare themselves physically and mentally for the upcoming OVC tournament.
You know, obviously we want to go out there and win matches, but ultimately it's about performing. And getting us up to a state of mind and a state of execution that we're ready to compete for the OVC tournament.
The Eagles will face TSU tonight at 7. They face Belmont on Saturday at 3 p.m. And finally for today in sports, a West Carter pitcher will be playing college ball next year. MSPR's Sean Delaney has the details.
According to the Ashland Independent, senior Ben Jordan signed a letter of intent to play baseball with the University of Kentucky. The 6'9", 225-pound Jordan made his decision November 10th. He missed half of his sophomore and junior seasons due to varying injuries. Despite that, Jordan was named an Under Armour All-American, having struck out 162 batters through 93 2/3 innings with 34 walks. In those 93 innings, he only allowed 6 earned runs. Since the beginning of his high school career, the West Carter Comets have gone 64-28. For Moorhead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Sean Delaney.
That will conclude your sports report. Reporting from Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle football will play their final home game of the season, hosting Pioneer Football League opponent Campbell University tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m. Tickets and information available from the Moorhead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed mostly higher, with the three major indices posting their best weekly gains of the year on the back of a surprise Republican sweep in the elections. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 39.78 at 18,847.66, yet another all-time closing high for the Dow Industrials. The S&P 500 was down 3.03 at 2164.45, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 28.32 to finish at 5237.11. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 8 to 7 in favor of winning stocks over losers. Energy stocks were pressured by falling oil prices as U.S. crude oil fell almost 3% to settle at $43.41 a barrel after OPEC said October output reached another record, casting doubt on whether its plan to limit production is achievable or enough to ease persisting oversupply in the market. Entering today, financials and industrials had gained 10.9% and 7.65% respectively this week, while utilities, consumer staples, and real estate, all considered defensive and more dividend-oriented plays, were down 3.7%, 1.97%, and 1.6% respectively. And of course, this action coming in the wake, or I should say this action being influenced by the Republican victory, and in particular Mr. Trump being elected. In economic news, consumer sentiment for November came in at its highest level since June. In overseas, European equities traded slightly lower, with the pan-European Stock 600 index slipping about 0.4%. In Asia, stocks closed mostly lower, with the Nikkei 225 gaining 0.18% and the Korean Kospi index falling 0.9%. In the gold markets, gold futures for December delivery fell $42.10, selling at $1,224.30 an ounce. Among Dow Industrial stocks, your best performers were Disney and Goldman Sachs, and your worst performers were Pfizer and DuPont. And in the S&P 500, the best performers were NVIDIA and Tegna. The worst performers were Alexion Pharmaceuticals and Newmont Mining. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 64 cents at 107.52, AK Steel up 19 cents at 7.49, CSX up 4 cents at 34.57, Marathon Petroleum up 13 cents at 43.95, AEP up 23 cents at 59.97, and Community Trust Bank was up $1.75 at 41.45. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking one last look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, there is a freeze watch in effect from Saturday evening through Sunday morning. Tonight you can expect mostly clear skies with lows in the mid-30s. Your Saturday will be sunny with highs in the lower 50s. Saturday night will be cold and clear. Widespread frost throughout the night and patchy valley fog late. Temperatures will be near 25 degrees. Your Sunday will be sunny with widespread frost in the morning, highs in the upper 50s. Sunday night will be mostly clear, lows in the mid-30s. Your Monday will be mostly sunny with highs around 60, and Monday night will be partly cloudy with lows in the upper 30s. Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it's 60 degrees in Ashland and Winchester. It's 58 degrees in Flemingsburg, 59 degrees in Inez, 61 degrees in Lexington, and it's 60 degrees here in Moorhead.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Dan Conti, Arlo Barnett, Nathan Gutierrez, Samantha Morrill, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, Ashley Chapman, Jacob Lindberg, Chaz Jenkins, Kyle Blankenbuehler, and Victoria Agee. On our feature segment this afternoon, we had commentary from MSU Professor John Modaff. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Courtney Howell for Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.